Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to the insan, the human beings, made them as an ajeeb, as a unique form of creation, makhluk, and Allah ta'ala has instilled into the human being many varieties and different types of qualities and given him a status. And the human being is a collection of unique qualities and characteristics. And it's obvious that to understand all of this, it's difficult for us to understand all of this. Everything that Allah Ta'ala has created is based upon His hikmah, His wisdom, and the aql, the intellect of insan cannot understand this. From our habits, Allah Ta'ala, if we look across all our habits and actions, Allah Ta'ala has created our habits and our requirements and needs. And we cannot even understand why these needs and requirements are there. Sometimes, outwardly, things we may not like or prefer or have a taste for, but they may be very beneficial for us. Very beneficial for us. For example, Allah Ta'ala has instilled inside the human being a desire for becoming wealthy, rich. Maybe there are very few people who don't have this desire. Rather, the one who doesn't have this desire, it's possible that nobody is present in the world who doesn't have this desire. Every person is present in the world, and everybody has this sort of need. But people think that this is a bad thing to become rich or wealthy, especially we think it's against tasawwuf or against Sufis. And this is an obstacle in the path of Allah. A person should be poor and live in poverty. This is greed. This is running after dunya. But this is reality. That the desire to become wealthy or rich, or to become rich or wealthy, is a ni'mah of Allah. And as I said, sometimes it's very difficult to understand the ni'mahs of Allah, the wisdom of Allah. And if we don't understand this, then we are at loss. A big ni'mah. Everyone should have the desire that I can become wealthy or rich or well off. And it is there. It is present in people. So what's the difference between doing it correctly or incorrectly? Is that way we utilize the ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala gives us. When Allah gives us a ni'mah, a gift or a favor, because we don't understand this ni'mah, we have a desire inherent. So we have focused this desire all 100% onto the dunya, in terms of benefiting the dunya, that we can become rich in this world. And we've utilized this desire for the benefit of our lives in this world. And then a person works hard all day long, night long, I want to become rich, I want to become rich, I want to become rich. And we have not understood that what in reality was is this ni'mah that Allah has given to us. We haven't understood. Now, to become rich, wealthy, was not for the world in reality, not for the sake of the world. And if we turn this desire towards reality, then Allah Ta'ala has given us this desire for this reason, so that we can become wealthy in the akhirah, in the hereafter. So the desire is present. The desire is there from day one. We think that, oh, this is a desire for the world, for the dunya. And so we focused and practiced this desire onto this world. But in reality, Allah Ta'ala says that if this desire of becoming wealthy and rich was for this world, then why would you leave this world at the end of life? Why would we leave this world? Why would we depart from this world at the end? Has anybody departed with the dunya at the end of life? Or is there a value of the dunya? But the desire is there to have dunya. So we haven't understood what was the reality. That this desire that Allah Ta'ala created within us to become rich and wealthy, we should turn it, flip it, not towards the dunya, but towards the akhirah, the hereafter. Become rich in the hereafter. Yes, this desire of becoming rich and wealthy, Allah Ta'ala created it for the hereafter. Subhanallah. It's a very valuable point that the pious predecessors have mentioned, that when this desire is created inside a person, then a person should utilize this or focus this desire in the right direction. That I want to become rich. For example, we think that, oh, to become rich and wealthy, we think that, oh, it's just in this world we can become wealthy and prosperous and well off, and everyone's then working hard in this dunya to become wealthy. So obviously then there must be a means to become wealthy, run a business, and somebody's making buildings or doing construction, or a high-flying career from a young life, putting a person to famous institutions. What should we do? We've got big assets and buildings and big houses have been built. What should we do in the dunya? This is there, isn't it? But doesn't this seem to us to be like a game? This is like a kid's game, isn't it? In reality, it's just like a toy. The dunya. People are playing with the dunya. It's nothing. It just leaves us eventually. It leaves us one day. It doesn't stay with us. But the desire is there, and we use the desire in the wrong way. The desire will always be there, and we'll keep on doing, just like a person wants to eat, he'll keep on eating and eating and eating, because the desire to eat will not end. So due to this desire, we continue, we make mansions and houses and dunya upon dunya. Ask a question. The individuals, you are here, I'm here. Why have we come here after leaving our homes? Don't you remember your home country? The cool breeze, the sunlight, and the rivers, and the heat, and the friends, and the family. A person who originates from somewhere, then obviously he enjoys thinking about or living in that environment. That when a person originates from somewhere else, and then he goes somewhere else, and he is the seed is sown, then he loses confidence or guts, etc. We run around and we make excuses about Iman and Awlad, and we have fikr. And we can say that we came for the deen to do khidmat. This is all nonsense. This is not the reality. Because khidmat of deen, service of the deen, can occur everywhere. So in reality, there was a reason, a desire that forced a person, if you go there, you'll become rich and wealthy. And those who came here, then they go beyond here. No, we need to go to another country, we'll be successful. Saudi Arabians come in here, go to Saudi, Jordan, and there's a circulation or cycle in the dunya that just one ni'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we have not understood, say subhanallah. We don't have aql, we don't have understanding. That this is a very big ni'mah of the akhirah that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. That after some years you will return to me, don't stay poor. That I want to see you as rich and wealthy in the hereafter. Allah says, become rich, become prosperous, become wealthy, be rich, enjoy the riches, but on the right track. Towards the right riches, we utilize the means and the resources of the world to become rich here. We've come here, we left our country, our home, our mother, we've changed ourselves. Look what's happened. And we take mockery and people might scold or hit or beat somebody. But no, I want to become rich, so I'll sacrifice my comfort. But all we see at the end of the day is a person in the coffin, and we don't see that the checkbook's going with that person or the bank statement. The mother's passing away here, the father's passing away, something else, she's crying. But we cannot go back to see the parents. Imagine this, that how a person, he has elevated this desire of getting wealthy, and he has rejected others in his family. Look at those people whose parents have passed away, and father, mother, could not reach to the janazah. Why? Oh, we've come for the deen here, and we are here for the deen, and we cannot see our parents who have passed away. This is deception. What is the real reason why we've come? To become rich. When we become rich and we become old, and then our children, then we have to see the games nowadays. We hear and we see what happens between the children and the parents. If you can stop me, stop me. You can't stop me. And this wrong action, we cannot stop it. And I tell you the truth, the reality, that the person who comes, and the time that will come ahead, it will get worse. The society will get worse. Generations will be more spoilt, and we have a desire of 1%, and the generation to come, they will have 100% ratio wise desire, that my desire is dunya, my father came and I'm going to earn as well. And you can try hundreds of Qur'ans and try to make thousands of masjids. I tell you the reality though, it is impossible. It is not possible. Why? Because that ni'mah of Allah Ta'ala's, we have utilized it incorrectly, that Allah gave to us, and we took the wrong step to try to get that ni'mah. And we are satisfied now in our poor position. We've made excuses and presented in front of, oh, what could I do? This couldn't have occurred, etc. But at the end of the day, all of the wealth that is earned will end here. And what is our iman doing at that time? That wealth has wrapped itself around our iman. Our man is sealed and hidden. Few salam, we're old, we're prostrating, and that's how our life continues. They're on a one-way street to nowhere. This is it. But there's one solution, alhamdulillah, we can earn even in this scenario. If we turn our direction and focus with the fadl of Allah, if we put this desire to the side, park it up, that Allah Ta'ala, we want to attain and achieve the right ni'mah in the right place, then with the fadl of Allah, with the grace of Allah, even now we can become good human beings of the hereafter. Yes. We can get good rewards in the after, but we don't change our direction. We don't turn our focus to reality. So how will we be improved? Do you understand what I'm saying? Are these words coming into the hearts? Are they penetrating the hearts, the words, absorbing? So we have to change the direction. We have to change our objective, our goals, what we're trying to get. Forget about bank balances and bank statements and checkbooks and the bank books. Don't look at these things. Look at the reality of life and where it's heading and what we need to attain. We need to become wealthy. Most definitely we need to become wealthy. We have to depart from this dunya as rich. We cannot, we will not be able to absorb and take the severity of the hereafter if we get the wrong conclusion in the hereafter. So what resources do we use in this world to become rich? Because we can't become rich automatically. If you don't open the shop, then where will the turnover come from? If you don't run a business, then where will income and profit come from? Since I have come here, in front of me thousands of people, I've seen them, that I want to make this building, I want to make this asset, and I've got this business, and in Liverpool and Blackpool, etc., names were Glasgow, there are markets, and this and that, because wallahi, I've seen those people, and I've seen them departing this world struggling at the same time. So where did their money go? That they were striving for, they had interest and haram mixed into the money. They were running around, left, right and center, like hellish chickens. Allah says, just stick to where your rizq is, where your country is, just stay there. Just stay there. Remain there. Don't worry about poverty. Don't worry about the poverty of the world. Worry about the poverty of the hereafter. Say subhanallah. And if this fear comes into our hearts that I don't want to become poor in the hereafter, I have to reach there after a few hours. Subhanallah. And I'm going to succeed in the hereafter. Oh, but I don't want to become poor. Then shaitan comes. Says then we go against towards the dunya, towards the world. And then we lose out again. We lose our focus. So do you understand this first point of mine? Everybody has understood what I'm saying? Properly? Shall we continue? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He has given us this ni'mah of becoming wealthy, then alongside this, Allah ta'ala has given us the means to become wealthy. Say subhanallah. Yes, just like the thawab of this dunya, do this job and then do that career, follow this pastime and career. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that for you to become wealthy and rich in the hereafter, I have given you the means and the methods. What are those methods? What is the sabab? What are the resources and the methods, the techniques? They are called deeds. Yes, pious actions. Yes, and these are the means to become wealthy in the hereafter. What we call good deeds, pious actions, and Allah has given us so many spread out, the full array. You understand? Kathir. Allah says, I've given you kathiran kathira. So many opportunities to do good deeds in excess. Allah said in the Quran, if you do a good deed, a dharra, an atom's weight, then on the scale, your deeds will get very weighty and heavy. Look at the shan, Allah's glory. We have to think here, shall I do this job, I'll get more money. If I do that job, I'll get more salary. If I run this business, I'll get more turnover. If I become a dentist, I'll get this and that. We think like this, don't we? So Allah Ta'ala said, don't worry about that. If you want to become wealthy in the hereafter, then I've given you many resources and methods that you will have stacks of good deeds. Allah says, open the doors. If you look at somebody and smile, you'll get a good deed in the hereafter. Yes? And if you extend the hand of friendship and smile to somebody, you'll get a good deed. If you're walking by somewhere and you see a branch on the ground, you move it out of the way to remove the obstacle, you get a reward. If you eliminate somebody's difficulty, you'll get a good deed. And these will be given us rewards in the hereafter. For example, if I see you, you walk past me and I smile, will I not get a good deed? Will I not make my hereafter? Will I not get reward? What a great currency note for the hereafter. Say subhanallah. Have I become rich or not? Look at the point. So, Allah Ta'ala says, I'm giving you many opportunities to earn good deeds. Many opportunities. And the insan who gets the note, the currency, that this is the currency of amal for the mu'min. That there are thousands of names for the currency in the world. Dollar, pound, X, Y, Z, A, B, C. And the currency that Allah Ta'ala has created, there's one name, say subhanallah. What is that? Amal, deeds. Every person will have the currency of one denomination, one name of currency. That amal, deeds, show your notes, show your currency, show your notes. And keep on showing your notes and purchase Jannah, paradise, the rewards and the levels will become yours. The amount, the price tags that are there, you will be able to buy them, purchase them, exchange them for the deeds. So, a person, not for the dunya, but he focuses his direction. Now he annihilates his desire for the dunya. And if you want to become rich and wealthy for the hereafter, then dunya becomes like dust and soil for that person. Subhanallah. Yes. You know, you say that, oh, your desire, where have your desires gone? You don't desire the world anymore. And only at that time will your desires for dunya be removed, when you hold and harbor the desire for the akhirah to become wealthy in the akhirah. Otherwise, the desire of the world to be rich here will never go. The desire of richness, wealth in this world will take us further, make us consume haram, do wrong actions. If we want to annihilate this desire, then we need to change the direction towards where? The akhirah, the hereafter. That I don't want to become poor in the hereafter. I want to be a millionaire and a millionaire in the hereafter. And on every footstep in the hereafter, I want a reward. From morning until night in this world while I'm living, I want to hoard my wealth of the hereafter. Tuck, 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 tuck. 1, 2, 3, 4. We can do this, can't we? Yes. And look how much, how many deeds, if we practice them, and how much mal and wealth we'll get in the hereafter. And it's not even difficult to do this. Allah Ta'ala has given us so simple methodologies to become wealthy in the hereafter. Let's look here now to understand this point. For example, there's not just one type of job in the world, is it? It's not in our control. There are so many different careers. What are you doing? I'm studying this, so I'm going to become this. I'm going for this profession, this career. What's the selection? Wherever I see most money and wealth or salary, that's the job I want. I'm a construction worker. Yeah, there's a lot of money to be made in construction. Yeah, let's do this. Oh, have you make a house and put it out on rent? There's a lot of money. And so there's differences here, isn't there? Everybody has difference of opinion in how to make wealth, how to accrue wealth, how to attain profit. Because at the end of the day, at the end of all of those efforts, mal, money will be. And Allah Ta'ala says that I've also distributed different deeds and different ways to earn for the hereafter. Allah says when a person wants to become rich for the hereafter and he becomes wealthy in the hereafter, then Allah Ta'ala has given a choice, subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala says, I've given you a choice that what deed will you commit in this world so you can become extremely wealthy in the hereafter. Isn't this the case? Just like there's wealth in the world, then there's wealth, a vast array of wealth in the hereafter. When you understand what I'm saying, say subhanAllah. Because Allah Ta'ala will be happy that this person is, my servant is praising me. So if you understand, then say subhanAllah. Don't just make a frown or you don't understand. SubhanAllah, Allah, you've delivered such great words to my heart. You should say that to Allah. So Allah Ta'ala says that for you to get the rewards and richness and wealth in the hereafter, Allah has given the means, the actions in this world. That person says, okay, I'll pray 2 rakat nafil. Oh, I'm sat down. Let me go and do hajj. Let me go on Umrah with my money. So every moment he's got a fikr, a worry that I want to accrue. You know, going on Hajj, etc. I saw my Hazrat Sahib, he used to come for Hajj, he used to come for Umrah, for Hajj. Regular, he was poor in terms of the world. He didn't have much money, he didn't have food to eat or bread. Everyone said he's poor, he's fakir. Everyone says this nowadays, he has no clothes to wear, no quality clothes. He doesn't have bread to eat. Everyone in the world saying this, isn't it? But in reality, what is that person? He is extremely wealthy and rich. Yes, that if I give you the example of his trust, what he had, the people who are wealthy in the hereafter, I swear by Allah and say this, that many rich people and kings will come to that person, they'll bow in front of that person. And what is it that causes that humility to arise? Why does the king come to the waliullah? Hazrat Rabia Basri, rahmatullah alayhi, was a unique wali of Allah. And she was a poor woman. And what can I say about her to you? What can we share? That she had a very small house, and this is a story, a real story. And at the ceiling, she put the cloth on there and the wood, and she made the doorway, and she had enough space that she could put a prayer mat. And she used to do the dhikr of Allah. She used to remember Allah as a Rabia Basri, alhamdulillah, the pious woman. And she was in a village, in a small, which is now Basra, that area, and she used to live in a village. Nobody knew who she was. Nobody. Nobody recognized her. Nobody. Subhanallah. But she was very wealthy in the hereafter. Her assets in the hereafter are so many in number. And that at that time, the king of that time, Harun Rashid, when he heard that there's a woman and her life is like this, she's so pious, then he took his army and he came to the service of Hazrat Rabi'a Basri. And he could not dare that broken down house, that weak thatched roof, that he could go there. He took his shoes off, and with a lot of adab, he sought permission that, can I come? Can I come to your service? And what is this awe that it was there at that time? What was this? Because that person is very wealthy in the eyes of Allah, and I saw this in front of my Hazrat, that at that time, the time of my Sheikh, ministers, very important politicians, people in Pakistan listen as well, that ministers and Wazir-e-Ala, interior minister and chief minister, I saw, sat in the presence of my Hazrat Sahib, and I saw those people arriving like they were servants, bowing their heads, humility, Hazrat, we've come to ask for dua. What was that awe at that time? In reality, they were poor, these so-called important VIPs in the world, and Hazrat Sahib was rich. And the person who's rich in the world is like a dog. He asks for izzah, respect. He begs for respect. Always you see is the dog, that he, for example, the thirsty, panting dog is greedy, and he's the person who's rich in the world. Why don't you give me respect? Give me salam, I'll increase your salary. If you pick up my bags, I'll do this for you. If you do this for me, I'll do this for you. And he's happy. The more people become his sidekicks, the more happy he becomes, subhanAllah. And on the other side, the person who's rich and wealthy in the hereafter, he doesn't even want that anybody picks my shoes up. He hates that. He doesn't need to, for anyone to do that. He doesn't want any assistance from anybody. SubhanAllah. He doesn't ever need that he asks people to be his sidekicks and to serve him, etc. He is very high and elevated, mashallah, and sincere and humble. So do you understand the point today, what I'm saying? That why do we respect the walis of Allah? Why do they feel that they don't want people to give them salam? Or why do we want to run after the walis of Allah and give them salam and assist them and serve them? Because we are poor, and the walis of Allah are the wealthy individuals in the hereafter, and they are owner of the greatest assets in the hereafter. After some days or months, we will see what is their maqam and their status. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying? Shall we continue? Should we progress? So the means to attain the riches in the hereafter, like we have different professions and careers in the world, and people take up different jobs and professions to become wealthy. Allah says that I've distributed all the good deeds in the world today, and let's see what is the highest ibadah, or what is the highest form of action that can make a person most wealthy in the hereafter. If I tell you, will you do it? Truthfully? Honestly? Put your hands up, let me see. MashaAllah, shabash. Very good. Well done. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not hidden this deed that will make a person most wealthy in the hereafter. We've got fasting, hajj, salah, and many different types of good deeds and worship. Keep on doing them and keep on earning. But who will be the most wealthiest in the hereafter? Say subhanallah. Whose status will be the highest, very elevated, not hidden. Quran, even if he doesn't know, and the Quran has told that person, and the hadith has told that person, and both things will be presented at your service. So we say that this person has studied and embarked on a very successful profession. He's bought this building and he's put it out on rent. And he's made more flats inside. And he's very, very intellectual and clever. He's earning crust and money. And his shop was selling. And look how he was clever and smart. Overnight, he struck the bargain. And look at his children. They're smart and they're clever. What does Allah Ta'ala say? أَلَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبٍ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Who are these people? أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah Ta'ala says that you are promoting and praising the people of the dunya. And Allah says, I will tell you are the people of understanding and who are clever and intellectual, who have earned most for the hereafter, and who have the most successful business in the hereafter. Allah says, I will tell you, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا. SubhanAllah. What is the Quran saying? Allah, our Rabb, is saying that their selection of a profession, an action, a pastime is the best. All the good deeds I gave them, most intellectual and person of understanding is that person who selects the dhikr of Allah to become rich in the hereafter. SubhanAllah. The whole universe, Allah says, from all of the people in the world, most clever and intellectual and smart is that person. Allah says, I give you so many good deeds, but if you've preferred the dhikr of Allah as the action, then you will be the most richest and the wealthiest person in the hereafter. This is the effect of doing dhikr of Allah. And the Quran is testifying to this, witness to this. And how rich will be those people in the hereafter? Who? Say it loudly. Who? The dhakireen, who do the dhikr of Allah. The Quran is saying that these are the people of understanding. They have grabbed all of the wealth of the hereafter. Somebody is looking on this path, I'm doing this work of the deen, I'm doing this good deed, I'm earning this good deed. But the achievement is theirs. Those people who understood the reality that the best of actions and the action that will give the greatest wealth in the hereafter is what? Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. Who is saying this? Allah is saying this. The remembrance of Allah. Ulil albab. the people of understanding, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا. These are those people who have assigned their time in the world to remember Allah, to earn thereafter. Just like we say, oh, he's rich now, he's struck gold, he's got a big building with many flats in it. So Allah Ta'ala say, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jalani, rahmatullahi, subhanallah, he was rich in thereafter. Hazrat Khwaja Muinuddin Chishti, he's attained the riches. Hazrat Ali Murtaza, rahmatullahi, is the wealthy person in thereafter. Alladhina yadhkuruna Allaha qiyaman, because they realize all these great personalities, what will give the wealth. And how wealthy will they be? How wealthy? They haven't even gone into Jannah yet, these great personalities. And they will be stood on the day of resurrection before thereafter, and hisab will take place. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is describing now the scene of the riches of these people, that they are not even accounted from the day of judgment yet. Hashr has occurred, resurrection, people will be stood there struggling, sweating, and there will be a group of people on that day who, mashallah, will be sat on thrones which will be decorated with rubies and pearls and diamonds. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. And when they sit on those thrones of rubies and pearls and diamonds, and their faces will shine like the moon on the 14th night. Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling his sahaba, his noble companions, they won't be martyrs and nor will they be the prophets. Then the sahaba kiram, they were dumbfounded. They were struck with shock, you could say. They asked... They said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which amal is it that they committed or implemented that they haven't even gone into paradise here? And Allah Ta'ala has already shown and demonstrated their assets of thereafter. How rich are they? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then described those great personalities. These are those people in the world who in different places, they will come from different locations, different towns, somebody from Surat, from China, from America, from a different country, somebody has come from Lahore, from Bangladesh, thousands of remote corners of the world, different backgrounds, someone's a Raja, someone's a Patel, someone's a Faruqi, Siddiqui, Sayyid, all different backgrounds and tribes and clans, from all different places, from different backgrounds, different tribes, different cultures, different languages, and they will all gather in one place, say subhanallah. They will gather in one place, and they won't remember the place, they won't remember their background, their origination, or their families, and what is it that will have met them, connected them to this gathering, is the love of Allah. They will have forgotten everything. They'll all be sat in one saf, in one gathering, in one majlis. They won't know what we are, what's our background, our creed, our color, our origin. They'll all be immersed in the love of Allah. And they will all join together. And how will they get the roots from Allah? They will do the dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala's dhikr they will do. So this is that qawm. So think for a while now. Think that the qawm is not deceased yet, is it? This will continue until the hereafter. I'll give an example. You're sat here. What have you come here to do? Speak. Dhikr of Allah. Do I know you? I don't know you, do I? Yes, I don't know many people who are sat here. I don't know this person. I've seen him first time. I don't know this person. I don't know this individual. Who's your family? Where are you from? And everybody's looking at me, isn't it? So are we not sat in one place? We sat in the house of Allah. We're doing the dhikr of Allah. Okay, let's go beyond this then. In this day and age, Allah Ta'ala has given us this in front of us. There's no corner of the world where this dhikr of Allah is not being spread to. And you can look. You can go to any hemisphere, any continent, every place the dhikr of Allah is on. Somewhere it's 3 a.m., somewhere it's 2 a.m., they're listening to me. Somewhere it's 1 a.m. In Saudi Arabia it's a different time. In Jordan it's a different time. In America and California it's a different time. Every country, there are people in every country. They are gathered in the whole world, in the whole universe. Subhanallah. What is the glory of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr? Amazing. And everybody is gathered together, formed together, collected together. For which reason are they gathered together? No speech, no lecture, no bayan, no daras. What are they gathered for? The whole of the worldwide. If we go, there are individuals in different countries, continents, hemispheres, awake, listening, gathered in and collected and joined in this gathering. And we see. We see that in Saudi Arabia, in Riyadh, in Jeddah, in Medina, in Makkah, and everywhere. MashaAllah, you can see this for yourself. Take any country. Allah Ta'ala has gathered everybody in one place. SubhanAllah. Those people. And what do they want to be? Rich in which place? In the hereafter. 3 a.m. they have woken up. 5 a.m. they have woken up. In the morning they wake up. Everybody is awake with the fadl of Allah. At this moment it will be afternoon. Daytime in America. They say that when we listen, when your dhikr majlis starts, it's afternoon time. We're in the car. We listen in our office. SubhanAllah, why should we waste this opportunity? They say this, I don't even know these individuals. SubhanAllah. Even now if we stop and you go to the computer And suddenly you will see the complaints and the feedback. Thousands of people will complain. Why is the dhikr stopped? Why is the communication stopped? The transmission. It's not just you. This is the dhikr of Allah. The remembrance of who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is Allah's universe. This is Allah's world. Is there anything in this world which is not Allah's? And it's Allah's dhikr that is happening. Lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Allah says everything remembers it. Sabbaha lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Is there anything in the world that doesn't remember me? So why does the human being not remember me? Allah says, the person who wants to remember me, Allah says, I will prepare for you, subhanallah. I will prepare for you, Allah says, one village in England. From that village, Allah says, I will communicate and transmit the dhikr all over the world. Allah says, because I need ikhlas, sincerity. What do we need for this work? Of the deen, ikhlas, sincerity. No greed, no fame, no acclaim, no testimonies, no links, no connection with ikhlas, with sincerity. Whichever jungle, wild place you will sit in, Allah will make that place mangal. Allah will make that place moist. Allah will make that place a place of vitality. Is dhikr not happening? In the whole world, our people are not gathered together, collected, formed, our people not listening. So this is Allah's promise that all countries, this family will gather together. They don't know each other, but what action will they carry out? These people, just the dhikr of Allah, and their maqam will become like what? That they will do the greatest amal of that time, at that moment in time, which will make them the richest and the wealthiest. How rich will they be? Rasulullah said that this will be their condition on the day of resurrection, hashr, and when they will go into paradise. Subhanallah. That if this is the hal on the day of resurrection, they sat on beautifully decorated thrones with the moon, their faces shining like the moon on the 14th night. Allah says, Wadhkurullah kathiran. Allah, those people who do the dhikr of Allah, wadhkurullaha kathiran. Those who do the dhikr of Allah in abundance, high quantity. A person remembers Allah in high abundance, the men and the women, the dhakirat and the women. Wadhakirina wadhakirat, Allah mentions. Look here, the Quran is telling us that those who remember Allah in abundance, the men folk and the women folk, adallah, Allah says. Allah Ta'ala has promised for those people that have prepared for you. Who has? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared. Allah says, I've prepared for those people, for these women and men. What? Maghfiratun wa ajrun azeem. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Allah says that maghfirah, say straight away that in the dunya will you remember me, I used to forgive you. And when you will return to me and hashr, I've shown you your status. When you come to me, then for you is not just ajr, but ajrun azeem. And who is saying this? Allah Rabbul Azeem. Arshi Azeem, the owner of the Arshi Azeem. And if Allah defines something as Azeem, then we cannot understand sitting in the world what is Azeem. And who is this for, my brother? Say loudly. For who? For who? Why don't you say this, my friends? For the dhakireen, those who do the dhikr of Allah. Why are you afraid? Why are you ashamed? Are you ashamed? Embarrassed? Is this not the case? Is the Quran not saying this? Rasulullah has told us, and Allah Ta'ala has himself stated this. Allah has revealed this, but there's a condition. Allah has given us the detail. Now let's continue further. That this is Jannah, paradise, and the akhirah we're speaking about. And what will be the selection from all the deeds under the sun? But what will be the greatest deed to give the greatest wealth in the hereafter? He who does the dhikr of Allah, remembers Allah. That's why the Sufi individuals, my friends, why will be the most wealthy in the hereafter? Why are their names lofty and shining? Because they selected that deed of the dhikr of Allah. They did so much dhikr they wouldn't eat. Rather, they would chew on leaves or certain type of ground powder just so that they didn't have to chew and then eat and swallow and digest. They said, is it better? We just have to fill our stomach. So put the powder in and put the water in and then do the dhikr of Allah. And there's no need to make effort with the mouth to chew. They didn't even want to waste some seconds chewing food. Then I'll speak about my Shaykh Hazrat Sahib. I never saw him detached from the action of the dhikr of Allah. Never ever in my life. That I never saw when he was conscious that he wasn't doing the dhikr of Allah. Never did I see that. You understand, my brothers? So this is the dhikr of Allah, which will give the greatest wealth to an individual in the hereafter through the action of dhikr of Allah. Now, what do we do next? What's the next step? Now, in the dhikr of Allah, there are different levels and grades and heights that can be achieved. We see people doing dhikr from their mouth, from their tongue. But dhikran kathir, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, and the pious elders have done the commentary of this verse. That what does Allah mean by dhikran kathir? Then Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ, that do dhikr-kathir, Allah says. And those people in their after will be the most richest and the wealthiest will be those dhakirin who did dhikr in their heart silently, didn't waste a second. The person who did dhikr in the heart, who did maraqaba, dhikr of the heart, that person didn't do dhikr from his tongue, rather he did dhikr from where? From the depths and the beats of the heart. So that individual, when he's sleeping, he's not ghafil. When he's running his business, he's not a ghafil. And when he's with his wife and children, he's not a ghafil. Why? Because his machine, the heart, is ticking along to the remembrance of Allah. That's why. So richest, most wealthiest will be that person who did dhikr qalbi in the world, say subhanallah, subhanallah. What a great ni'mah. And so fortunate and lucky are those people selected by Allah, Allahu Akbar, who in this day and age, they have attained dhikr qalbi, dhikr of the heart. Imagine this for a moment. Imagine this. What a great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Great ni'mah. Now dhikr qalbi, if a person gets dhikr of the heart, the ability to do it and learns it, and alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, he gets the tawfiq to do it morning and evening, and also with the majlis, with the gathering, then what a massive favor of Allah, what a massive gift of Allah. Massive. So when such a great announcement Allah Ta'ala gives about becoming wealthy, now a second point I'd like to mention to you, because a question arises here, so that we can remove the doubts and the questions. Can we think that salah is a great action, isn't it? Fasting is a great action. Hajj is a great action. So how has dhikr progressed beyond these? How has dhikr taken the first position? So people ask this, or they doubt this, they challenge this, that can any action compare with salah? Salah is mirajul. The person, he reaches to the miraj when he is as if he's seeing Allah. So has dhikr gone beyond salah? I'm not saying that dhikr is greater than salah or hajj or greater than the faraid. No, no, no. This is not the meaning. Understand the meaning. Why is Allah Ta'ala given a high status to dhikr of Allah? Why does a person become very lofty and great? And then you'll understand through the example I give my brothers. For example, you run a business, don't you? Or different people do. You'll have a business or a startup of a business, and you have benefit of 5,000. 5,000 profit. So that 5,000, is it yours? That profit? Yes, I'm speaking about those who are honest. That is that 5,000 yours? It's not yours, is it? First, then you have to take the tax deduction or VAT, things that get cut off, don't they? And the net result from that 5,000, maybe with difficulty you'll get 500, isn't it? Isn't it? The businessmen, they're like this, aren't they? End of the day, they get what? After all deductions, this is your salary, £3,000 a month, gross. And then when they give you the salary, the net is 700. This has been deducted, this tax, this income tax, this form of tax, 3,000 gross, resulting in a net of much, much less than that. This is the point, isn't it? So now I'll tell you about the akhirah, with regards to the deeds of the hereafter, about the wealth of the hereafter. The same thing, the same rule applies. There'll be VAT there, and tax, and deductions. Everything will be subject to deductions. The more amal you do, salah and hajj and other great deeds that we'll do, when they'll be presented to Allah, then there will be deductions from those deeds. VAT and tax. What will be the VAT? Will be the tax. What is that? That this person, how much sincerity did he have? How much showing off was he doing? How much pride did he have? And when those sins come in, then that salah will be degraded, demoted. End of the day, your salah will be very minuscule and small in size and stature, because so many sins will have degraded it down, demoted it. Just like you had a job, 3,000 gross salary, but after deductions, it will go down. So in the same way thereafter, he didn't do actions of the sunnah, he was showing off, he had riyah, he was showing off, and he wanted fame, and his recitation was correct, etc., etc., etc. So everybody's deeds will be reduced in their intensity. Everybody, and nothing will be left out. But I say this amal of, if I say that this is the deed, this has this much deduction, but if you sell this cloth, it's tax free the result. So which cloth or which stock will you take? You'll take the stock which is tax free that from the profit. You say, I'll leave the rest of the stock, I'll take this stock because it will fulfill my fear of being deducted too much tax. You say, oh, what is it? Oh, shall I keep this stock which will be subject to tax, or shall I keep this item, product, which is free from tax, not subject to tax? I'll say, oh yeah, let's take this, we'll sell it cheaper, and then when less money is deducted, then the accounts will stabilize. So all amal, the deeds, the tax will be deducted and cut. But Allah Ta'ala says salah and hajj and etc. But the dhikr of Allah, you can do it showing off, without wudu, sitting at home, whatever condition you're in, it is accepted, beyond accepted. There are no preconditions. Say subhanallah again, subhanallah. Free of tax, Free of any strings attached. Do you understand the point I'm making? Free of tax. No tax. No strings attached. So who is the richest? Who is the wealthiest? That you have to pray salah, your sins will reduce the intensity. Your fasting, your Quran, your speeches, everything will go and be reduced. Rather, it goes to the negative side. But the dhakireen, when they'll go to Allah, they'll say, Allah, we the dhakireen, Allah will say, tax-free Jannah. You've earned paradise whole for yourself. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And such will be the situation related to the dhikr, that when the dhakir does dhikr and becomes rich and wealthy, then the things that were lacking in his salah and other deeds, Allah will fulfill that gap. Fill up the gap. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. SubhanAllah. So my brothers, what a great learning of today. How great is the dhikr of Allah? Have we understood today what beautiful points we've learnt? That the person who does the dhikr of Allah will be elevated to the highest of positions, and this ibadah will make him reach to the heights and thereafter. So that's why it's lazim, essential, that those ibadat that will be subject to tax, and this deed is free of tax. So with the sadaqah of this deed, we can become wealthy in thereafter, and our other deeds and worship actions can also be accepted. Brothers, will you do dhikr? Of course, inshallah. Is this an action to leave? And why have we left it? Mawlana sahab announced dhikr is going to happen. There will be a majlis, a gathering, etc. This is the reward. Where is everybody gone? Was there only those same people who are regular, who sit normally? Where's everybody else gone? Where have they disappeared to? Where have they gone? Yes, that all of this that I've told you and shared with you, tell me, so why has this gone into the minus? That practically they've said, we don't need dhikr, we don't need wealth in the hereafter, we don't want the riches. We're saying, we don't need this currency in the hereafter, we just, we're content with what we've got in this world. We don't want to become wealthy or rich in the hereafter. That's what we're saying. We're just doing U-turns. He's gone out of this door or that door or that door. Those who have departed, that's what they're saying. We have no need for these rewards in the hereafter. So you've stayed, you've remained and remained seated. You've come to dhikr. Alhamdulillah, whose kalam is this? ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءَ. This is Allah Ta'ala's grace and mercy. What a great fact. And you'll be shocked, amazed that the dhikr of Allah, you do du'as and you ask from Allah, your mercy, you give me the understanding of the importance of dhikr. Everybody else has run away. They haven't realized that where have they gone? What do they want to acquire by leaving the dhikr of Allah? What a great wealth of the hereafter, or the greatest wealth of the hereafter. Okay, so we've understood this today. That what's happened to the world today? Take the percentage out of people who do the dhikr of Allah in the world today. Worldwide. Take a percentage. I swear by Allah, in some places, some countries are such they don't even know what is the dhikr of Allah. Maybe they don't even know what is dhikr or remembrance of Allah. They don't have a clue. I can explain to you. Even in our countries, they don't know what is dhikr of Allah. Don't realize. So what is this problem? Now we understand that this is a big, big situation of poverty. And Shaitan said to Allah, when Allah said that, get out of here, you're expelled. And he sought permission, he did dua to Allah and requested. When Allah gave him permission, then he said, I'll do one action. Allah, I'll do one action. That your servants, from in front, from behind, from the right, from the left, from every direction, I will surround them, influence them, whisper into their ears. And I won't let them do that action that will allow them to draw near to you, and that they can get the benefit of Jannah, paradise. So this is maloon shaitan, wretched shaitan. When a person is stopped from doing the dhikr of Allah, then he is being stopped via the wretched action of shaitan. These are two opposite things. In that heart where dhikr of Allah is being done, I swear by Allah, that person cannot be shaitan. That person cannot be shaitan. He cannot be in that house. He cannot be. Yes, in that home or in any other place, in that environment where he is, wherever the dhikr of Allah is being done, because this is hadith, these are two opposite things that cannot be formed together. Where the dhikr of Allah is performed, then the inhabitants of the heavens see them glowing and shining like stars on the earth, those who are doing the dhikr of Allah. And shaitan, he boils over and gets angry when people do dhikr of Allah. When dhikr stops, then he surrounds those people, whispers in their ears, and he takes the importance out of their hearts. He creates waswasa, bad thoughts, evil thoughts, lazy thoughts, makes a person think, oh, this is bone idol action, it's not giving me any benefit, and he reduces that person to zero and then takes him onto this path. Oh, dhikr you want to do? This is also dhikr. You've done dhikr earlier, you don't need to do it again, etc. Thousands of waswas are whispering in the air so that that person can be taken out of the fold of the deen. This is a great da'wah. If you give da'wah to the people about the dhikr of Allah, start from your home. I'm giving you a message. This is a very realistic action, a target that should be achieved. Everybody, let's look in our homes. That look how our children are ignorant of the dhikr of Allah, our women folk, our children. Don't say anything to them. Just say to them that when there's the majlis of dhikr, I'm going to put this on 1 hour, just listen to this majlis of dhikr. Once in the day. And I swear by Allah, you will see the noor and the light spread in those homes when the dhikr of Allah will be performed.
That's it. The destiny will turn for the better. The fortunes will change for the better.
Allah Ta'ala's decisions will come to the favor of those people. Positive shayateen will start to leave that home. There'll be barakah in the rizq. That person might become poor in the world, but he'll start to become wealthy in the hereafter. Subhanallah.
And all of those haram things will disappear in the world. We show the amarat of the world. Look, I've got this, I'm rich. I've got these assets, I've got this wealth. I swear by Allah.
Wherever the dhikr of Allah comes, then everything will start to leave. And there the poverty of the world will come. But in the hearts of the people, so much respect will come that this is the real king who is sat here, the real king. Yes? And then the people of the dunya will say, if you want to meet, go and meet that person over there. If you want to see, go and meet that person. He's pious, he's good. Yes? And he will become the rich and the wealthy person thereafter. Maybe your treasure chest will be empty, because nowadays, today, this is the halat. Desires will end, the treasure chest will empty, pockets will empty, there'll be nothing left. Food and drink, the menu will change. It will get less in terms of the contents. Everything will change. But subhanAllah, the assets of the akhirah, the elevation will start with the fadl of Allah in the hereafter. Two things cannot run in parallel. Either take the assets of the dunya or the assets and wealth of the hereafter. Those two cannot run hand in hand in the world. It's difficult. So my brothers, do the dhikr of Allah. Remember Allah, propagate this, invite others, start from your own home, from your family, instill the passionate desire to the children and the family folk, and also yourself do the dhikr of Allah, the greatest asset to get rewards in the hereafter. Wherever you hear this dhikr of Allah, sit down, take part, don't waste time. Without dhikr, to live the life is a life totally empty and void and a life of waste, I tell you this. Totally a person is wasting his life at that time. Wasting. And we say, for example, in the day, in the week, I do dhikr once a week or twice a week, etc. This is so few, less, it is less. That we want the rewards in a massive place called Jannah, paradise, big maqams. When a person will go to Jannah, he'll regret that if only I spent a second more doing dhikr of Allah, why didn't I do this, what I would have attained. I wasted these seconds, I could have utilized those seconds for the remembrance of Allah. So we have relatives who passed away, friends who have died, colleagues who have died, friends. Let's learn a lesson. Let's, alongside in our life, let's make our life valuable. And let's select the action that will make a person the wealthiest in the hereafter. And what is the amal, the greatest deed, my brothers? What is it? The dhikr of Allah. That's it. And we should have yaqeen and certainty on these words of Allah. وَأَخْرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ